Now and wait till the bell goes. One day when heaven was filled with his grace.
Thanks. Excuse me. Thanks, Michael, for reading God's word. Are the children going out this morning? Okay. Let the children go out now to their special time, and we'll stay in here and look at the word of God today. Thanks, brother, for sharing this morning and leading us in a time of worship. It's great to come and worship God and to praise him, and it is a nice day today, isn't it? The sun's shining. And there's a few clouds around, but yes, there are a lot of people suffering because of the extra rain. So we really do need to be in prayer for them. You happy to be here today?
Yes.
Good. Good. Let's just have a word of prayer before we start the message. Our God and Father, we thank you for your presence with us here today. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who died for us. We want to praise you that your Holy Spirit fills us and blesses us. But as we come to your word this morning, Lord, we ask that you might just give us open hearts. Father, just give us clear minds, myself included. And Father, we pray today that you would just bless us in a special way to help us live our lives for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you weren't with us last time, we looked at A Life of Love, Part 1, which is over a month ago now, I think. And so what I thought we'd do is just recap a little bit on some some of those things that we looked at last time, but we'll just do that quickly. And so it's interesting to note that as we look at the Bible and as we look at love, and I was just noting this time that I was preparing for this message that love just keeps popping up all the time. And it really is a theme that runs right through Scripture. Not only God's love for us, but our love for God, our love for our brothers and sisters. But firstly, we looked at last time a love that comes from God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And 1 John 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. It's the only reason we can love God, of course, and love others with that agape love. And once again, in Romans, it tells us that when we know Jesus, when God is our Heavenly Father, no one or nothing that we encounter can ever separate us from the love of Christ. What a wonderful promise that is. Nothing can separate us from God's love and the love of Christ. So this love comes from God. And then we talked about the command to love God and love our neighbour as ourselves. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself." Jesus was answering a Pharisee who was a lawyer and or a scribe. And when the question was asked about what is the greatest commandment, that was the answer of Jesus. And it's interesting that we note too that the Lord Jesus makes this a summary of the law. And he was the first, of course, to combine these two commands as a summary of the law. The Jews had lots of commandments, and they were good at trying to keep them, but Jesus was taking their attention off just law-keeping, and he was helping them see that it's all about a love relationship with God. So important. And then thirdly, we looked at last time a love that displays a reverent fear of God. Not a lot said nowadays about what it is to fear God or how we fear God, even believers. It's not a cowering fear. It's not a terror. It's not anything like that. But we notice this verse in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It talks about the church and the growth of the church. The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And there's a real connection here between a reverent fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So important for us to understand that those two things don't fight against each other. But this fear is as one commentator has mentioned, or I think from Vine's dictionary, this fear is described as a wholesome dread of displeasing God. A wholesome dread of displeasing God. A fear that banishes the terror that shrinks from his presence. In other words, this is a fear that is based on our love relationship with our Heavenly Father. We don't want to displease him. We want to obey him and follow him. And so important that that we understand what sort of fear we're talking about. But this love relationship with our Heavenly Father, love relationship with our Lord Jesus, it brings that to a reverent fear or holy fear, some of the translations describe it as. And so as we move on now, the first point, or it's actually point four in the whole message, but in the second part, we note that this is a love that obeys God. And you know, we don't really like the word obedience, do we? I remember as a teenager, or probably quite a bit younger than a teenager as well, that word obey wasn't one of the things that I enjoyed hearing. And so it is for adults as well. We don't always want to hear that we need to obey certain things. So this is the love that obeys God. How does that How does that work? Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him." Just to read it again. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. It's really interesting too, because this whole idea of obedience, the world talks about it in terms of being a burden to obey. But it's not a burden to obey. If we're obeying instructions that bless us, instructions that help us, it is very important. So this obedience is an obedience from the heart. We did talk about that heart relationship last time when we were in this message, but this is an obedience from the heart. God's word, the Bible, is full of truth, comfort, encouragement, powerful promises, but also instructions, commands, and protocols that we need to obey. You know, it's one thing to want to really be blessed, and one thing to want to go on in our Christian life and know protection from God and no blessing from God, but it's so important that the instructions that God gives us, those things that he places in his word that are so important, that we actually obey them, because it's for our God, our good, and for his glory. There's a powerful connection between love and obedience. The overriding principle in our relationship with God, God the Father and the Lord Jesus, is the reciprocal love. He first loved us, that's why we can love him. But then that agape love, which is a special sacrificial love, then goes back to God from us because of that close relationship that we have with him. And this reciprocal love, that agape love that comes from God and that we have in us as we go on in our relationship with him, this is a love that needs to follow right through our Christian experience. So the command of Jesus and God the Father are the same thing. So Jesus was talking about his commandment there in John chapter 14. But of course the commandments of Jesus and the commandments of God are exactly the same thing. Let me ask you a question. Where do we find God's commandments and protocols and God's instructions nowadays? In the Bible, thank you. No one was game to answer that one. We do, exactly. The Bible is there for our instruction. It's there for everything. The Bible, friends, this book, let me state it clearly, is the Word of God. Amen? Is the Word of God. And so it's not just us writing a whole lot of laws and commandments up on a bit of paper and sticking it on the fridge and trying to live by it every day. That's legalism. But, it might be a good thing sometimes, but this is a love relationship with God. This is listening to his word, reading his word, and obeying those things that God expects that we should obey so that we're going to be blessed. So the commands of God, the commands of Jesus, all those things are contained in the Word of God for us. So important for us to thank him for that. And it's interesting to note too that even Jesus had to be obedient. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 that although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Isn't that incredible? The Lord Jesus himself, in a body just like ours, he had to learn obedience from the things that he suffered. And also to be obedient to his heavenly Father. And the Bible tells us that he was obedient when he went to the cross. That was the obedience of dying for your sins and my sins. So obedience to God's commands, instructions, and protocols in the written word of God, the Bible, is proof of our love for God, proof of our love for Jesus. God can speak to us in a variety of ways, but primarily he speaks through his word. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through other people. He can speak through genuine spiritual encounters and other things. But all these things are substantiated through the Word of God. So important that we understand why God gave us this book and how we need to read it and obey it and how it needs to be preached, even this morning. So God loves us dearly. But along with obedience comes something else. If you're like me, and humanly speaking, you probably are, we don't always obey, do we? We don't always obey. And you know, it's an incredible thing. I thought this morning I would just talk briefly about the discipline of God, because it's so important, but perhaps I'll extend a little because I think it's so important. Let me read that verse again, or the two verses in Hebrews 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For that those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. So what's God saying to us? That every little thing that we miss, or every little thing that we don't obey, and we should have, God got a big stick and he disciplines us. No, nothing like that at all. This is a God of love who sent his son to die on the cross for us. This is the Lord Jesus who died for us on Calvary, a very cruel, cruel way to die. So, no, that's not the discipline. But I want to assure you that if we do go off course as believers, if we do turn away from things and know that we're not really doing the right thing for God, we're not honouring God, and we just keep going our own way, God will bring us back. And the discipline often comes. And I want to put up my hand this morning and say, I've been disciplined by God, and I thank him so much for that. So much for that. So friends, sometimes, you know, we go through circumstances and we're doing a really tough thing, and we don't know what's happening, and just sometimes. And as we go through those times, we tend to blame others, don't we, sometimes? And sometimes we just say, oh, it's the devil. He's getting at me. And the devil does get at us. So please don't think that I'm not saying that he does. He's constantly working to break down the church and break down Christians. But sometimes we blame other people. We blame the devil. And we keep saying, oh, you know, I just can't get satisfaction, and I'm stuck in this situation. And then we get tapped on the shoulder very quietly. And we turn around and it's God tapping us on the shoulder. And he's saying, brother or sister, or my dear child, he's saying, you're going through this difficult time because you're not listening to me, and I want to bring you back on course. I love you dearly. I love you dearly. And I want to bring you back on course. I'm not going to share about some of the times that's happened in my life, but I dare say some of you are sitting here today thinking, yes, God has brought me back at times like that, and it's good because he loves us. So sometimes, again, even as Christians, we think, disobedience is tough, the discipline of God is tough. No, it's not. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for us. So friends, this is a love that obeys God in that relationship with him. And point five in this whole message, it's a love that proves our discipleship. A love that proves our discipleship. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. You know, it's fascinating. When you come across other Christians, most of the time when we come across other Christians who love Jesus, that there's almost an immediate connection, isn't there? Almost. Sometimes it doesn't always happen like that, but almost there is. And it's a beautiful thing to meet a stranger and look them in the face, and you're about to ask them some questions, and they just give you a couple of interesting facts about themselves, and all of a sudden you know. And you get that feeling. There's a real connection there. And as we do that, as we love each other, especially those of us who are part of the kingdom of God, and especially those of us in a church like this, if we love one another, and if we love each other even out in society, the society will know. Everyone will know as they look at us. It's so important. Friends, every problem that starts or exists in a church, it's usually connected to a lack of love. Over the years of ministry that when I've been in churches, I can honestly say that there are probably only one or two occasions when there were problems that raised their head that looked as though they were going to bring a disunity in the church or some other thing, only one or two occasions that those problems weren't connected to a lack of love. So really important, really, really important that we understand why God wants us to love him and to love each other. This is a love that proves our discipleship, and of course it also proves our salvation, because we can only have that love amongst each other, that agape love, if we really know Jesus, really born again of the Spirit of God. You know, the Apostle Paul was very good at addressing problems. You probably noticed that in his letters. In Corinthians, we note that Paul's writings addressed lots of things, and often they were problems. And there was lots of problems in the church. A misuse of liberty, problems when meeting for the Lord's Supper, immoral problems, the misuse of spiritual gifts, etc., etc., etc. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what did Paul do? He gave them a discourse on love. Now, that didn't solve all the problems straight away, of course. But the Apostle Paul knew, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that as he wrote those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that many of them would be challenged and many of the problems would be turned around, because it's usually a lack of love. When my mum was alive, and I've mentioned about my dear mum a couple of times in messages, that she lived in Toowoomba. My dad died when I was 16, when I was only fairly young, and she came to live with my grandma in Toowoomba initially. And then when my grandma died at 95, my mum built a house at Rangeville. House is still there, of course, but my mum's in glory now. But when we would go to visit my mother, she didn't have many things hanging on the wall. And you know how I get a little emotional, so I'm sorry, I'll deal with it, it's okay. She didn't have many things hanging on the wall, but there was one framed thing hanging on the wall. And as a matter of fact, she had asked me to copy some sections of the Bible, and I blew them up for her and made them larger and put them in a frame for her. And guess what it was? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, I think. You know that first part? So every time we visited my mum, we looked up on the wall and there was 1 Corinthians 13. My mum was the epitome of love. And so for me growing up, it was just incredible to have a mum who loved God and loved me immensely. So friends, how do we respond this morning to this love? Very simply, I'd like to suggest that we spend time in prayer, not just in church, but in our personal lives, asking God to help us love with that agape love, love with that sacrificial love, not a selfish love, not a love that demands things, but a love that gives and a love that draws people to ourselves. And friends, that proves our discipleship. And lastly, this morning, point six, this is a love demonstrated at Calvary. And you know, Calvary and the Lord Jesus dying for us on that cruel cross was the greatest act of love the world has ever known. There's lots of acts of love in the world, and ordinary human beings are quite capable of acts of love and acts of sacrifice for others, including soldiers and people who are in the Navy and the people, those people who are keeping our country safe. But this act of love on Calvary was Jesus taking upon himself our sin that wasn't his, of course. Jesus was never a sinner. Even hanging on the cross, he was never a sinner. But although he was sinless, he bore the full weight and the full burden of our sins and received the full punishment for our sins so that we might receive a full pardon. That's a great act of love. The agony of the cross, all that Jesus went through. And here's the good news, that sacrifice of Jesus has never lost its potency. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, that is those whom God has set apart, those of us who have trusted Jesus. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are set apart, those who are sanctified. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of that obedience, the Bible tells us that he was obedient unto death, the Bible says, or to death, death on a cross. And because of his obedience, then he died for your sin and my sin, and that's why we're here today. Friends, the other thing that's important as we look at this point, a love demonstrated at Calvary, is that we need to examine ourselves this morning and let me ask the question of myself and of you this morning. How much do I love Jesus? So now I've said that, I can ask you, can't I? How much do you love Jesus? Don't have to answer, of course. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? Not just this morning because we're in church, but always. What is the degree of that love that we have for Jesus? And you know, we're living in a pretty hostile world, aren't we? We really are. But Australia's pretty safe just at the moment, don't you think? Just at the moment, be safe. But when we look at the world and what's happening and, you know, the wars and rumours of wars and those sort of things, things are really winding up. And I was thinking, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, how long is it going to be before we as Christians are going to suffer a stronger persecution, even here in Australia, even amongst Australians? It is happening at the moment, but not to the degree that it's happening in other countries. But it's coming. Not that we're inviting that. We don't want it. But the Bible says that's what's going to happen in the last days. There was an Ethiopian teenager who was being held captive, and all she had to do was tell the men who were beating her that she no longer believed in God. And if she said that she no longer believed in God, then they would have stopped beating her. She was being detained and beaten because of her faith in Christ. And as I did a little bit of background when this story, don't know exactly when this story happened, but it was in a World Vision magazine, and I got it from something else, and that they got it from the World Vision magazine probably. But it was probably in the 80s or something like that, I assume, because Ethiopia, you may remember, it was governed by Haile Selassie for a long, long time. But then there was a military coup, and the Marxist people came in. And it seemed maybe it was about that time. I'm not exactly sure. And so here these people were beating this teenage girl. And as they were doing that, they said to her, all you have to do is say that you don't believe in God. She was being beaten for her faith. But she told her tormentors, Jesus is greater than all, greater than Marxism, greater than anything. According to the article in World Vision, the torture continued as she was kicked, hit with an iron ball, and dumped unconscious on the floor. When the guards who had beaten her were asked by their superior why she had not given in, they replied, "We're dealing with a Christian who says she will not leave Christ." What a remarkable testimony this girl had. This young woman endured brutal treatment because of her faith in Jesus, but later she was released without explanation. So, friends, I guess the question still stands this morning. How much do we love Jesus? What are we going to face in the years ahead? Probably nothing like that. Well, we don't know. But we need to be so in touch with our Saviour. We need to have that strong love relationship with the Lord Jesus and with God. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay close to Jesus. We need to keep coming to church when we can. We need to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We need to be sharing our faith. We need to be keeping our families close to us and asking God to bless them and protect us, and He will. And we just need to go on for Him. But the question still stands, how much do we love Jesus? And friends, I'd like to suggest this morning that we're just going to close the message in a word of prayer. And I'm just going to just read a very small passage as we close. I'd like us all just to bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16. This was a passage, or this was a response that Jesus had to the disciples. And they were really surprised that he said to them he had to go to Jerusalem and to be killed and to be raised on the third day, and they didn't want that to happen to him. And so in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And friends, this morning, maybe the Lord's saying to us in a clear and concise way that we need to really ask God to help us take up our cross. We can experience the blessings that Jesus experienced, but also the suffering. And we do at times, the suffering that Jesus suffered as well. As we just bow in a word of prayer, this morning, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you don't know that love, and you can't express that because there's no relationship, you can just very simply pray a prayer today. Repent of your sin and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour, and He will. And the Holy Spirit will be within you. But friends, as Christians are here today, perhaps we need to start a new chapter in our lives, a chapter that is based on love, and we need to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Take it up and ask the Lord Jesus for strength and health in every way. But we're facing a very different world. So we just take a few moments of silent prayer. You just respond to the Lord in the way that you want to respond. Our Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer, our prayers, and for answering our prayers. And our God, this morning, even as a church, we would ask that we might have a new dynamic of love in our lives that just leads us on to new things, exciting things for you. We pray that as people come to our church, that they might not only hear about the good things that you've done for us, but that they might hear that we are going to be faced with maybe some serious problems, and they too need your help, desperately need your help. So our God, just bless us as individuals this morning, bless us as a church. And Father, we just want to pray for Aaron and for Beck this morning, little Obadiah and little Florence. Bless them, Lord, as a family, keep them safe. Thank you for their ministry here. And Father, we just ask that they might know not only a blessing in their general sense, but they too might be lifted up into your presence in a very special way. Even this morning, we commit them to you. Father, we give you thanks. We ask all these things in confidence because we ask them in the strong name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Edward, for that message. Will you stand with me and sing the final hymn, As the Deer Pants?